Now, it has emerged that a tweet by Alliance leader Naomi Long disrupted the trial involving Ulster rugby players Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding and led to a defence barrister asking the judge to discharge the jury. Now, that didn't happen in the end. The case continued, as you know. The pair were found not guilty of rape and reporting restrictions imposed on the case. They have now been lifted, and you'll notice in today's papers there's loads of what you didn't hear because of the restriction in the papers today, and it allows us to talk about this example as well. But throughout the trial, people were posting comments online, so much so indeed that the judge actually told the jurors to ignore anything they say on anything that was being said on social media. And as I mentioned, the leader of the Alliance Party, very much associated with the disruption of the trial during the time when it was being very highly profiled. The trial was halted while the judge took time to consider the request from Stuart Olding's barrister that I made reference to. Now, these reporting restrictions imposed on the case prevented the development being reported at that time. Those restrictions were lifted yesterday afternoon. The tweet by Naomi Long criticised Frank O'Donoghue, the QC who was there, for remarks he made in the court concerning the alleged victim. He said, "Why didn't she scream? A lot of middle-class girls were downstairs. They were not going to tolerate a rape or anything like that. Why didn't she scream the house down?" Now, on Twitter, Naomi Long described the comments as appalling. She said, "I genuinely have no words for how atrocious the statement is." She posted, "Middle-class girls? Question mark. What? Question mark. Because working-class girls wouldn't care? /don't matter. Think rape is normal? Question mark. What is the implication of that comment even meant to be? Appalling at every level." She wrote all of that. Now, the comment was retweeted 36 times. It received over 270 likes, and the court was told about that. Now, after the tweet was published, the barrister told the court, "The trial is on a knife edge. The jury is about to go out to consider its verdicts." Now, the Alliance Party made a statement about this, and they said, "We are always conscious of our responsibilities when making any comment related to live court proceedings and exercise great care to avoid any remarks which would be construed as prejudicial." The tweets related to a comment from a counsel's closing address regarding class and not evidence before the court were entirely unrelated to and made no reference to inference whatsoever to the guilt or innocence of those on trial. Legal contentions alleging prejudice in the context of various remarks on social media were put before the trial judge, and after careful consideration, she rejected those arguments, a view reinforced by the Attorney General. That coming from the Alliance Party. Let me speak to a legal expert, Fergal McCormick, who is very much someone in the legal profession, who's available to speak to us, and who is with the Carson McDowell team, Mr. Fergal McGoldrick. Fergal, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
I was rechristening you there for a moment or two, Fergal, or giving you a new surname, Fergal McGoldrick, very well known in legal circles. Fergal, in relation to what was tweeted by Naomi Long, the argument being that it was during the summing up, does that hold water?
Well, I think we should first acknowledge that the judge in the case considered the application by Stuart Olding's barrister and determined that it wasn't something that was going to create a substantial risk of serious prejudice or impediment to those proceedings, and therefore, whilst the application was made, the judge determined that that wasn't the case. What I will say is that the laws which govern publication of information concerning criminal trials whilst they're ongoing were drafted in an entirely different era when the internet wasn't available, let alone social media. And I think the difficulty is that where once you previously had the ability to comment on criminal trials as they were ongoing, constrained to a small number of individuals, namely editors of newspapers and broadcasters. Now, anyone with a smartphone and access to the internet is able to provide their opinion on the trial as the trial is ongoing. That problem is probably magnified by the fact that in recent trials, a number of journalists have been able to, in the interest of open justice, live tweet from the trial, meaning that people can respond to those tweets and give their opinions, having only seen or being relayed a snippet of what is happening in the trial.
So we should keep in mind that it is inappropriate to send Twitter messages, whether it is in the cut and thrust of the trial or whether it is during the closing address. We as members of the public should be steering away from making any comments like that in the public arena. Is that right?
Well, that is the position. That you have to remember that the essential role of the court is to ensure that proceedings are conducted consistently with the proper administration of justice, so that all parties involved receive a fair trial without prejudice. Now, the difficulty is, if any individual provides their opinion on the developments in the trial, there is the possibility that could create a risk of serious prejudice or impediment to those proceedings. And, for example, when you have a jury trial, although, as in this case, the jury will always be warned not to take account of anything in the media or on social media and to only make their decisions based on what has been provided to them in the trial, it is always possible that a jury member could be influenced by reading or receiving publications which might be prejudicial.
Now, I know from the job I do that I wouldn't have been allowed to have expressed any opinion whatsoever while that trial was ongoing. You would expect people who have a high public profile to realise that they shouldn't be doing it either, or am I being much too stringent and strict?
Well, I think, as I mentioned at the outset, we're in a whole new world. I mean, it is the case that the Contempt of Court Act was brought into force in 1981, and up until the mid-noughties, its outworkings would have really only been relevant to journalists like yourself and newspaper editors. So I think it's simply the case that, of course, everyone should be aware of the law, but social media is moving quicker than the law can catch up. I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but the English courts are encountering similar difficulties in that jurisdiction, and in September 2017, the Attorney General there instituted a review into the interplay between social media and criminal trials. That was on the back of a situation where a criminal trial in England had to be discharged because of what the judge described as the avalanche of public outrage on social media. So it's not, I mean, you could say, yes, everybody should be aware of the law, but we're living in changed times, so there are always going to be difficulties whilst people adjust to new realities.
Do you think we're getting closer to the likes of that high-profile trial being closed to the public? Is that the way around it?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I mean, open justice is a cornerstone principle of the judicial system here, and the idea that individuals should not be able to be informed by what is going on in the criminal trials would be a very big step. Now, I appreciate that that is the position across the border in respect of certain trials, including sexual assault trials, but it's a big step to take, and I'm not sure I'd be in favour of completely closing off public access to trials. The whole point is that the public can observe justice being done and not simply be told that it's being done.
But it's a pity, isn't it, that the judge has to talk about armchair and fireside lawyers?
Oh, I agree entirely. But as I say, I think that we're all in a bit of an adjustment period as to how people understand and interact with social media in the context of ongoing criminal trials.
In relation to the reporting restrictions which were lifted yesterday evening, just explain to people who are listening to the programme why reporting restrictions are actually put in place and when they're put in place.
Well, on certain occasions, the judge will determine that legal arguments should be heard by the parties where the jury is not present. Now, obviously, if the judge doesn't wish to hear, doesn't wish the jurors to hear those legal arguments, by the same token, those legal arguments can't be reported in the press in case a juror becomes aware of the arguments before the judge is happy for that to happen. So it's really a protective measure to ensure that no information which the jury should not have access to is ultimately finds its way to the jury.
And finally, Fergal, will the legal profession study the outworkings of this trial? Will they discuss it and debate it at a professional level? Will they learn from it? Because it's been an incredibly painful experience for practically everyone involved in it.
Yes, well, I think, I mean, like everybody else, a number of legal professionals have been involved, and it has been the subject, of course, of discussion in the general media, which feeds into discussion between people. I think that there have been a number of indications by various legal professionals involved of the professionals involved of the difficulties which they faced in the trial, and I think that may be taken forward. I also think that the outcome of the review which the Attorney General in England and Wales has undertaken may also influence matters here, although that, of course, will be a matter for the Attorney General in this jurisdiction and ultimately the legislature.
Fergal, I really appreciate your time this morning, shining some light on it for us. Solicitor in Media and Defamation with the team there at Carson McDowell, Fergal McGoldrick. Fergal, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Not a problem, Frank. Thank you.
Good morning to you. If you have just joined us, 02890 333 105. It is a different world, isn't it, where people do feel they can say what they like. They can retry people. They can exonerate people. They can basically say as they please on a public platform. And the times, they are a-changing because there's incredibly strict rules against reporting. But the public, as we discovered from this trial, and probably from other trials as well, but this is the one that we've been keeping a really close eye on, they do feel they can say what they want whenever they want to say it.